Welcome to Interpod, a podcast by Interpride where the world comes together for the LGBTQIA+ community. I'm Michelle Miao, your host. In honor of Lesbian Visibility Week, we speak to prominent lesbian-identified voices who have made history and are continuing to empower and advance LGBTQIA rights around the world. Here's our very own Madonna Cacciatore, who's the project manager of fund development and partnerships for Interpride and also is an actor.
Madonna Cacciatore, she, her, hers, and I am the global project manager with Interpride, working on fund development and partnerships, and also an actor. I was already dating women since I was pretty much out of high school. I had a crush on my French teacher in high school, and then I hope she's listening to this today. But my brother had moved to New York and was dating a woman when he moved there. And then I don't remember when it was, but a few years after that, he called me to say I fell in love. And I was like, oh my God, who is she? And he's like, it's a boy. And I was like, what? Oh my God, we're both gay. That's amazing. And he introduced me to his first male love of his life, Jim Isgrow, and they were together for a while. So I just remember the joy in his voice when he discovered who he was and sharing that we had something very much in common. And it made me happy that he found happiness. And then, you know, years later, he met Tommy and they were together for 9.5 or 10 years when Johnny died of AIDS in 1991.
Thank you so much for sharing. I too have queer siblings and it feels like we're just the best of friends.
Yeah, it changes your relationship in a way. Like, you know, I was always his annoying little sister, you know, when we were growing up. And then he moved to New York and had a new sort of, our relationship shifted. But then when he came out, we were just, it was even better. So it was very cool.
What about getting into your profession? You know, is that always something that you made a reality, or how did you get into something as cool as making films and becoming an actor?
Well, you know, when I was 6 years old, my mom put me in dance, my mom and dad. And so I was in like tap and ballet and jazz and I loved being on stage. It was like, you know, I was just, you know, shine a light. And I was so happy being on stage. And then I think it's always part of you. If it is, you know, you sort of know it or when you're a kid almost. Sometimes people discover it later, but it's always been a part of who I am. And no matter what I've done in my life, that's there. That's why I'm in Los Angeles now. I went into then acting training at the Studio Theater when I lived in Washington, D.C., and I studied for many years there and continued to study like with the Washington Shakespeare Company and taught at the Bethesda Academy of Performing Arts on the East Coast for a while. And I just, it's part of who I am. And then when I kind of lived all over the place. So I met a woman and I moved to Seattle in the late 1999. So it's so weird to say that the 1996, 97. And when I was there, I got I'd done a little bit of background work in DC because DC is a different city when it comes to movies as far as the unions go. So I didn't have my SAG card yet, but I was on my way to getting it. And then it was like the year 1999 or 2000, I got a small part on the Fugitive reboot that they were doing in Seattle. I went to set and they was like, here's your trailer and we're going to walk you to it with an umbrella. And I thought, oh my God, I love this. I'm moving to LA. This is what I want to do. And I love the magic of movie making. I love how, you know, filmmaking is so, you know, you watch something, but seeing what goes into it and being there and just watching a shot get set up and watching people work and how the crew works together and how integral every single person is in a film. It's really like if we all sort of lived our lives helping each other that way, it would be so much better than it is when we just fight each other all the time. So I just fell in love with it. And, you know, I've always done theater, dance. You know, I moved from like musical theater to doing plays and straight ahead theater, and then moved into film and television when I sort of before I got here, but really I've been focused on it since I've been here in LA. And I love every minute of it.
Let's talk about lesbian visibility in films.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, we're certainly getting better at representation, but we have a long way to go in the film and television industry in general. So my wife is also, she's a talent manager. So there's the roles come through in what's called the breakdowns all day long. And it used to be that, you know, it was male or female, or it was, you know, they would specify some very binary roles, you know. And over the last, I would say maybe 2 or 3 years, it's really started to shift. And we start seeing the roles being more opened up to non-binary folks. And of course, I get cast as a lesbian all the time. I just worked on 2 short films in which I was in a relationship with a woman. But that's not what the story's about. And I think, you know, I think instead of making the story about being a lesbian, let's like make it a story about being a human being who is in a relationship with a woman. You know, we point to things too much. I think, in my opinion, if my wife always says, if you want it to make it the norm, you have to make the norm. You have to be, you just have to live in society, you know, and stop having people put us in boxes, you know, literally just. So I think that, you know, I remember the L word when it came out, it was like, oh, Shane, I could totally relate to Shane in the early L word, you know, in my growing up. I mean, I wasn't that hot. I didn't have that many, you know, in my chart, but it was for me something I could identify with. And I think when Ellen sort of was trying to come out, you know, in her sitcom and saying, because I also related to her. So seeing how she came out and how it was just like, she was just having a show and then she was coming out as a lesbian on her show, which actually, you know, was devastating to her career, which is ridiculous. You know, that's, I think, why people have been afraid to address it. There's so much I could talk about there as far as, you know, Hollywood and being gay and or being lesbian, being queer, how, you know, how people have had to sort of navigate that world. I think the roles are getting better. But, you know, I think when we stop pointing and just start allowing us to be who we are in storytelling, I think that's when the shift occurs. So I one of the model, I love Shonda Rhimes and I love how she deals with characters. And I remember when Sara Ramirez came out in Grey's Anatomy, you know, when they did that, they made her role, a lesbian role in Grey's Anatomy. And I thought, okay, this is on the right track. This is like somebody who's having a life, who works in a hospital and who's, you know, having a relationship with another woman. So I think there have been definitely great writers and showrunners and directors who have done that. But I'd like to see more of it.
I think, you know, listening to you for the last few minutes or so, sharing your story and sharing yourself and having this compass of confidence for you and knowing where you want to be, where you want to go, has guided you in, you know, safety. That's a big message that we could send out to our community. But the last question touches on also what I've learned in my interview with you is that having the right people in the right places also makes a huge difference, right? Like having a diversity of folks and them being either writers or actors or, I mean, these things matter. So if you could say something about the continuance of that, the importance of making sure that, you know, other people aren't telling our stories or that we're giving people, human beings, a shot at doing what they love, you know, that in itself is considered healthy, right? Versus being in a situation where you're constantly doubting yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the little film I just worked on was this beautiful story. It's an AFI film, and it's about a young, very non-binary. He identifies whatever. He has his pronouns are he, him, or they, them, or she, her. Like when I asked him his pronouns, he said, I don't really care. But for me, you know, like watching him work and seeing him sort of move with through fluidity, he'd never acted. He was a model, but the most genuine soul I've ever seen. And seeing this young person work and just be in the moment and seeing them find an experience for themselves, you know, like that, in sort of connecting with me and the other actor in a way that was, I just, it was beautiful. And I wish that every experience could be like that for people of all ages, of all gender identities, of all, you know, the spectrums, the LGBTQIA range could experience that. I think that people are much more, I don't want to say open, I don't know what the word is, but it's becoming more like you're more respected on set or in, you know, just the diversity is actually welcome instead of, I feel like when you watch, I mean, I sometimes will watch older TV shows like the old comedies and stuff. And I see things and I'm like, oh my God, how did they get away with that? But it was just, there was nothing except white people doing straight shows. You know, when I was growing up, that's what it was. And then appropriating other cultures madly, you know, just like all of them, especially the indigenous community. And when you see that, you know, how it looks today, I think it took us way too long to get here, but I'm glad we're going in this direction. And it should be that everyone feels safe. And honestly, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but and I've heard it on a billion people receiving Academy Awards or awards, but believe in who you are and be who you are, because everybody brings something different to the table. And whatever you bring to this role, if you're, you know, if you're a non-binary person who gets a role that was written for a Caucasian, you know, female, cisgender female, and you get that role, bring yourself to that role. Like, because it can happen. You can get roles that weren't really written in the way that they end up being cast. So if someone gets a role that's like, you know, just the interesting thing about you is you and what you bring to a character and what you bring to a role. If you, Michelle and I went in for the same role, we would bring something completely different to it. And they would both be interesting. And a director or a writer or a producer might go, oh, wait, I'm seeing something I didn't see before. So I think it's important to, you know, be your authentic self, not try to be who you think somebody wants you to be. Just bring yourself. If you're an actor or writer or director in this world right now, you know, write material that is, you know, that helps people to understand that we live the same, we are all on the same planet living lives and just wanting to have relationships and love one another and have friends and family and feel safe. I mean, it's really simple and basic. And there are a lot of forces who come at us trying to make it, you know, shift that or try to come at us. But we have to stay strong and we have to keep doing being us, you know, and I think that's true. And just whether you're an actor or whatever you're doing in life, like be yourself, bring yourself to the table. You don't have to be this person and do it the way they do it. You be you, you do you, as they say. So, yeah, I just think that there's beauty, you know, watching this young man work over the past few days, the beauty in that was just like, oh, I was just enamored of that. So just keep on keeping on and don't give up your dreams.
Thank you, Madonna. Thank you for all that you do and continue to do for our communities. Please support the work of Madonna and Enterpride. You can do that by heading to enterpride.org. You'll find all the information you need about the programs that we put together, as well as the scholarship funds that go to support LGBTQIA+ organizations and people around the world. You can also hear other episodes of Enterpride. This is Enterpride, a podcast by Enterpride, where the world comes together for the LGBTQIA+ community.